That's good.
Everybody ready up here?
All right.
Test one. We're going live in 5, 4, 3. Oh, hear that old piano from down the avenue. Smell the Hamantaschen, I look around for you. The Purim is a coming through that door. It's a dark 14 and the band is playing. Who could ever ask for more? Coming to you live from Beth Emanuel here in beautiful Hudson, Wisconsin on historic 3rd Street, it's a Purim Home Companion Radio Show. Mr. Troy Mitchell back here on keyboard and vocals. Mr. Les Steiner on bass. The Vitullo Brothers, Matt on guitar. Max on violin. Mr. Aaron Eby on percussion. The guys, All-Star Sandal Band. Our acting company is here. Les Steiner. Therese Steiner. Woo! Woo! Matt Vitullo. David Snyder. The Mobergs. It's a dar in Wisconsin under a full moon. The weather's cold, it might warm up by June. We've come to hear the whole Megillah read, to have some fun, laugh a little, and later on go to bed. We've got a good show tonight. It's Purim, and what would Purim be without traditional Purim songs? Mr. Troy Mitchell is here. Troy, tell us what we're going to play for tonight. It was a dark night in a city that knows how to keep its secrets. But on the first floor of the king's gate, one man is still trying to find the answers to life's persistent questions. Mordecai, Private Eye.
It was a dark and lonely night. The kind of night where you wish you had a Facebook account, just so you could see that you really had 34 friends in the world, even if they never liked your posts. Sure, maybe it was 5 years ago, but at least you know that at one point in their lives, they friended you. I was in my office all alone, sitting in my 520 BC vintage steel case office swivel chair with black upholstery, with my feet propped up on my desk, when in walked the most beautiful woman in all of Persia. She was attractive, young, and had long black hair that cascaded in rolling waves over her shoulders. Her olive skin was smooth and soft. Her lips were red and pure. My lucky day? Guess again. My niece, Hadassah. Or maybe she was my cousin. The exact relationship gets fuzzy in translation. Whatever she was like a daughter to me. After she was orphaned, I took her in and raised her. Then she married the king, changed her name, published a book that got canonized. So how's life in the big time, Esther? What brings you out to visit the little people?
Stop it, Uncle Mordecai. You know it's not like that.
How would I know what it's like being the big-time queen of Persia? Besides, I'm not your uncle, I'm your cousin.
I didn't come here to be harassed. I came here on official business. Remember those two potential predatory perpetrators privately plotting and preparing to penetrate the portals of the palace and pierce the powerful prince of Persia?
You mean those maniacal Machiavellian uniformed eunuchs from the Municipal Eunuchs Union of Monarchical Threshold Guardian Units?
Yes, I mean those shallow and shameful celibate civil servant saboteurs so recently shackled up in the case of the Shushan Ahasuerus assassination shakedown.
Yeah, that's what I thought you was referring to. It was no big deal. I overheard a few eunuchs plotting to assassinate your husband, Ahasuerus. I tipped you off. It's not like I expected a reward or something, or even a simple acknowledgement. I mean, it's not like you expect the king to tweet, "Thanks, at Mordecai, for saving my life."
Well, the whole case has been thrown out of court for lack of evidence. Those eunuchs are at large again.
Are they both at large? Because I remember a small one named Big Thun and a medium one named Teresh, but I don't think there was a large one.
The small and the medium are both at large.
You know, they should have called that guy Small Thana. That would have made more sense.
I don't care what you call them. You better watch your back, Mordecai. Those eunuchs know it was you that put the finger on them, and they'll be looking for revenge.
My head was swimming with inappropriate puns and innuendos and cheap eunuch humor. I knew there was no point to that. I needed to cut it off quick. I needed to find solid evidence that could convict Big Thana and Teresh for good. I decided to pay a visit to the Municipal Eunuchs Union. And sure enough, there they were.
Well, look who's here. Hey, Teresh, it's that stoolie who thinks he's a private eye. You've got some nerve showing your face around here after what you pulled. Yeah, I suppose you came looking for evidence about our secret plot to assassinate the king.
Who says I didn't come here to hire a threshold guard?
Yeah, well, you're going to need a threshold guard. After the king, we're coming for you next.
Guys, let's put all that in the past. Let's bury the hatchet. Let bygones be bygones. Water under the bridge. Let sleeping dogs lie. No sense making a mountain out of a molehill. Why open old wounds? Forgive and forget. Let's start fresh. Take it from the top. Turn over a new leaf. I tell you what. Let's go down to Jimmy's together. Have a few drinks. Share a few laughs. Loosen up a little bit. Let the alcohol reduce our inhibitions. Spill a few incriminating secrets, such as details regarding any major assassination plots we're involved in. What do you say? I'll buy the first round.
Okay, I guess.
Hey, Mordecai, good to see you. How's everything going?
Hi, Jimmy. It's going. Get me the usual and get a round of stiff drinks for my two friends here.
Oh, yeah, I know these guys.
You know the eunuchs from the Municipal Eunuchs Union of Monarchial Threshold Guardian Units?
Nah, I recognize them as friends from Facebook.
I didn't know you was on Facebook, Jimmy.
Oh, sure, Mordecai. Everyone's on Facebook nowadays. I'm on Twitter, too. What about you?
How many friends do you suppose you have on Facebook, Jimmy?
I don't know. I really don't pay much attention to that. Last time I checked, maybe 350?
350? What? Really?
Yeah, I think so.
And you know all these people?
Oh, maybe half. Sometimes people just send you friend requests and you accept.
And you have Twitter too then, do ya?
Oh, well, yeah, I tweet sometimes. But these eunuch friends of yours are big-time tweeters. Check it out. I've got it right here on my iPad. Hashtag Xerxes Smirxes. Here are some more. Hashtag Eunuchs Unite. Hashtag If I Were King. And hashtag Ahasuerus Must Die. Yep, you can pretty much post anything you want these days.
That's how I found the evidence we needed to put those two slippery, squeaky voice, unschmucked Shushan conspiracy schleppers in the slammer. Of course, I never did get paid for that job. Last time I checked, the king hasn't even accepted my friend request. Esta said I received an honorary mention in the king's book of records. But a lot of good that does a guy, am I right?
A dark night in a city that knows how to keep its secrets. But on the first floor of the king's gate, one guy is still trying to find the answers to life's persistent questions. Mordecai, Private Eye. This portion of our show is brought to you by the Ketchup Advisory Board.
These are the good years for my wife and I. Zeresh has given me many fine sons, I've been honored by the king several times, promoted to second in command above all others except for the king himself. Queen Esther even invited me to a private banquet for her and the king. We should have been happy, but then one day, I came home to find Zeresh hinting something to me in that less than subtle way. What's wrong, dear?
Who says anything's wrong?
Come on, Zeresh. We've been married long enough now that I can tell when you're upset with me for something. I don't always know what I did, but I always know that I did something.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Never mind, dear. How was your day?
Fine. My day was fine.
Well, great. Well, I'm just going to read the paper then.
That is, if you think it's fine that your husband is invited to attend a private dinner hosted by Queen Esther, but you aren't invited.
Is that all? I knew something was bothering you.
No, that's not all. What am I supposed to tell our neighbors when they ask about the 75-foot gallows you built in the backyard? Oh, that's for the Jew who won't bow down to my husband? It's embarrassing.
I thought the gallows were your idea, honey.
Well, maybe you and Queen Esther would like to build your own private gallows and hang Mordecai on those.
I don't see how that's going to help you feel better. But you know what will? Ketchup.
Ketchup?
Yes, dear, ketchup has natural mellowing agents which could help you relax. Once you have a little ketchup, you'll feel much better about the whole thing, I'm sure.
These are the good times for couples therapy or building a gallows for your enemies. Life is flowing like ketchup on saltines.
Ketchup for the good times.
Ketchup, ketchup.
Ketchup, filled with natural mellowing agents. The Lives of the Cowboys, brought to you by Shushan Shoeshine Boot Polish. Give your boots a royal shine. And now, The Lives of the Cowboys.
Well, if it ain't just the Jewish cowboy I was looking for, Mordecai.
What can I do you for, Haman?
Seems I'm having a bad run of luck.
I always hate to see a feller down on his luck. Is there anything I can do to help?
Well, for starters, you could put on this here royal robe.
I don't follow you.
Just yesterday, I was busy building a gallows for you. I was fixing to have me hanging. There I was testing my Boy Scout knots, making a noose just your neck size.
And a particular reason you was fixing to hang me?
Yup. I heard that you said I'm so ugly that it looks like I've been bobbing for French fries.
I never said that.
I heard you said I'm so ugly that when I sun myself on the beach, cats try to bury me.
I never said that neither.
I heard you said I'm so dumb it takes me an hour to make minute rice.
That's minute rise. And I didn't say that neither.
Well, I heard you said I'm so dumb that I haven't failed my blood test.
Nope. Didn't say anything of the sort.
Well, I heard you said my mama's so ugly that she has to sneak up on her mirror.
Now, wait a second. Who told you that I said any of these things?
Folk.
What folks?
You know, folks round Shushan.
Folks?
You know the way folks talk.
So you was going to hang me for all these folk tales about things you heard I said?
Yup. And other reasons, too.
Such as?
Such as, personal reasons.
Oh, like the fact that I won't bow down to you, right? I get it. So what happened then?
Well, that's where things get peculiar. I was just going to ask the king for permission to hang you from a 75-foot gallows that I erected in my backyard when he says to me, go find that Mordecai feller. Dress him in one of my best robes. Put my crown on his head. Put him on my best horse and parade him around town saying, This is what the king does for the feller he wants to honor.
That's a tough break.
Sure is. So if you don't mind doing me a little favor, put on this here royal robe.
Oh, I would. But it seems to me to be downright disrespectful for a man to put on a king's royal robe when he ain't had a proper bath in 2 weeks.
You know good as I do all bathhouses is closed at this hour.
Well, I reckon you'll just have to heat up some water yourself, gird up your loins, and give me a scrub down.
Oh, all right. I'll just fetch some soap and water then. All right, now you had your bath time. Put on this here royal robe.
Ooh, that does fit nice. Silky too.
Now put this here kingly crown on your head.
Oh, I can't do that. Seems to me be downright disrespectful for a man to put on a king's royal crown when he hasn't had a proper haircut since Rosh Hashanah.
You know good as I do, all the barbershops is already closed.
Well, I reckon you'll just have to get you some scissors.
I reckon I will.
You just reckon along and do that then. Feller went to get a scissors. Oh, and here he comes.
And I'll sit here and hold still.
Oh, can you leave it long on the sides, will you? What are you making all that noise for?
I was just thinking about my poor old pa. His son used to be head of the palace and second in the kingdom, but now he's become a bath attendant and a barber.
What did your pa do for a living?
He was a bath attendant and a barber.
Thought so.
All right, now, take a look. What do you think?
Ooh, not too bad.
So put on this here crown now and get up on this here horse.
Ooh, I can't. I don't have the strength to get up on a horse. You have to help me. I'm an old man.
I'm an old man, too.
Well, then you'll just have to explain to the king why you didn't carry out his orders.
All right, here. I'll just bow down here in front of you, like so. Get down here on my hands and knees like this. See? And you just boost yourself up here by stepping on my back with your big cowboy boots.
Like this?
That's right. Just like that. Now, ow!
Thank you kindly. Never had nobody bow down to me before. Guy can get used to this.
Don't mention it.
I reckon you probably did fail your blood test.
The Lives of the Cowboys, brought to you by Shushan Shushine Boot Polish. Give your boots a royal shine. This portion of our show is brought to you by Bebop Rebop Rhubarb Pie and Bebop Rebop Frozen Rhubarb Pie Filling. Rhubarb, it's the secret to the good life as we know it. It's the middle of Nisan. The birds are singing, and life could not be better at the king's palace. You greet the secret servicemen at the security checkpoint.
Good morning, Mr. Heyman.
And they lower the drawbridge for you. You cross over the moat and step in through the palace gates, announced with fanfare. That's when things start to go downhill. After a hectic day at work, leading your arch enemy around on the king's own horse, shouting at the top of your lungs, you get stuck in rush hour traffic on your way home.
Oh, great. Just perfect. Move your cart! You move your cart!
You get home just in time to see the carpenter sawing the last beams and nailing them in place to finish the enormous gallows in your backyard. Although you are running late already, you indulge in a little diabolical laughter before slipping into the shower, blow-drying your hair and beard, and picking out something evil-looking to wear for your Purim costume.
Maybe the robe with the pointed hat.
Then it's off to the Queen's Palace.
Taxi! Taxi!
You tell the cab driver to hurry, because you're late, which might be why the taxi fails to notice the security checkpoint.
You on the horse! Halt!
The Secret Service fire their arrows,
boing, boing,
bringing your taxi to a sudden stop. and sending you flying headlong to the ground. Already at least an hour late for the queen's banquet, you decide to flee.
Suspect is now on foot.
You grab a long pole conveniently left beside the moat, filled with snapping crocodiles. Sharks. Piranha. And feral swimming cats. And you use it to pole vault over a moat and into the wall. Then you must scale the wall.
He's gone over the wall. Cold run.
Break through a window, tripping over a cat, tumbling into a palace maid.
Oh, Mr. Heyman.
Who was carrying a hot pot of coffee, which she spills onto you. At that moment, the palace secret service activates the intruder alarm. And the lockdown alarm. And seals all the entrances. Now how will you reach the banquet room? No problem. You pull the grating from a drain in the floor and drop into the palace sewer, heedless of the rats, cockroaches, snapping crocodiles, sharks, piranha, and feral swimming cats. Avoiding these hazards, you swim beneath the queen's banquet hall and pop up out of a manhole in the floor. Your sudden entrance frightens the queen. She screams. Trying to assure her that you are not a hideous sewer monster, you fall on her couch.
Oh, Mr. Heyman!
Just as the king enters the room and says, "Will he even assault the queen in my presence? In my own house?" Wouldn't this be a great time for a piece of rhubarb pie? Yes! Nothing removes the taste of shame and humiliation from your mouth like bebop or rebop rhubarb pie. One little thing can revive a guy, and that is a piece of rhubarb pie. Serve it up, nice and hot. Maybe things aren't as bad as you thought. Mama's little baby loves rhubarb, rhubarb, bebop, a rebop, a rhubarb pie. Mama's little baby loves rhubarb, rhubarb, bebop, a rebop, a rhubarb pie. Bebop, a rebop, rhubarb pie. Rhubarb! Look for it on your grocery shelf the next time you're there. This portion of our show is brought to you by Powder Milk Biscuits in the big blue box with a picture of the biscuit on the cover. Buy them ready-made in the brown bag with the dark stains that indicate freshness. Powder Milk Biscuits made from whole wheat that give shy persons the strength to get up and do what needs to be done. Has your family tried them powder milk? Has your family tried them powder milk? Well, if your family's tried them, you know you satisfied them. They're the real hot item, powder milk.
Well, it's been a quiet week in beautiful Lake Shushan, my hometown, home of Beth Manuel Sabbath Fellowship, a Messianic Jewish congregation nestled away in historic Hudson, Wisconsin, beside the shores of the St. Croix River. It's been cold this week. Everybody's been getting ready for Purim, the big annual festival where we retell the story of the Book of Esther, a Bible story from the Old Testament. One of those Bible stories where an evil villain attempts to annihilate the Jewish people, but God intervenes and brings about a great salvation on their behalf. And now we celebrate by eating foods that are high in carbohydrates. A lot of these festivals have a particular associated food. Passover has its matzah. The matzah reminds us that when the Jews left Egypt, they left in such haste that the bread dough did not have time to leaven. It did not have time to rise. It did not rise. Something similar happened to Ed Hurley last year at his first Passover Seder. Ed's from a conservative Lutheran background and never been to a Seder. He's also a firstborn, as luck would have it. So he took on the fast of the firstborn before the Seder began. First time fasting, I believe. He broke the fast with 4 cups of wine at the Seder. Maybe a few in between to wash those down, too. When it came time for the last cup, Ed reclined at the table and said amen and swallowed the whole thing. And then, just like the unleavened bread we eat, Ed did not rise. "Just leave me here in Egypt," he said. "I'll catch up later." It's the festival of unleavened Ed. At Rosh Hashanah, we enjoy sweet things, sweet foods like apples dipped in honey. The sweet foods symbolize our desire for a sweet new year, and Hanukkah has its latkes, its oily potatoes to remind us of the miracle of the oil. And at Shavuot, we eat dairy, of course, because... Well, because the dairy, you see, symbolizes cows. And it reminds us that the ancient Israelites used to have cows. And those cows went with them when they went up out of Egypt. As Moses said to Pharaoh, "We shall go up out of Egypt with our young and our old, and our sons and our daughters, our flocks and our herds." And herds means cows. And this is why the Torah says it was a mixed multitude that went up out of Egypt, because there were flocks and herds. And those cows, they stood with the people at Mount Sinai, as it says, "Lo and behold." And they said, "If sacrificing a cow to a deity is good, just think of how great it would be to make a cow into a deity." And that's the story of the golden calf. So on Shavuot, we eat a lot of dairy, cheesy things, creams and yogurts. And this reminds us not to worship cows. So what do we eat on Purim? On Purim, we eat a special type of triangular cookie called a hamantash. That's a Yiddish word. It means a Haman pocket, triangle-shaped pocket-like cookie with a delicious poppy seed filling. Hamantash. More than one are hamantashen. You need to know the plural form because you're going to want to eat more than one. Haman is the villain in the Purim story. Haman. His plan to exterminate the Jews backfired on him because he didn't realize that Queen Esther was Jewish. It's an anti-Semite's worst nightmare. He finds out not only do they control the banks and Hollywood, but the Queen is one of them. So we eat hamantashen on Purim. That's the Yiddish. The Hebrew name is Ozen Haman, which means Haman's ear. Ozne Haman are Haman's ears. Delicious. What kind of filling do you suppose Haman had in his pointed ears? It implies you're about to eat a cookie filled with earwax. What's more, Ozne Haman sounds perilously close to Ozne Human. Human ears, and that's what's really going on here. The Karei Kativ says, don't read it as Haman ears, read it as human ears. Wait until the anti-Semites of the world find out about this. They'll say, forget about the blood libel, you know. Messianic congregations have their own interpretation. On the night before he was hung, Haman took the cookies and he said to his 10 sons, take these cookies and eat them. For they are my ears. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with poppy seed filling. And truly I say to you, unless you eat of my ears and that which fills them, you'll have no filling in yourself. Of course, the anti-missionaries came and raised objections to this, and so now we call them hamantashen instead of human ears. Last year, the sisterhood here in Hudson made a big batch of hamantashen right here in the Beth Emanuel kitchen. It was cookie baking day. There was flour and sugar and rolling pins and the delicious smell of baking cookies filling the building, and you knew that Purim was near, just around the corner. Such a sweet time, such a precious time for the women to bond and draw closer to one another. Maybe a little too much bonding time last year. Norma Jennings put the cookies on the tray backwards. At least that's what Shelley Johnson said. And she claimed that Norma was putting Haman's left ears on the right side of the tray and the right ears on the left side. But Norma said it depended on which way you assumed Haman was facing. So Shelley turned the whole tray upside down to turn Haman's head around. And they haven't spoken to one another since. It's one of those irreversible conflicts. So this year, the sisters in the sisterhood bought the hamantashen at Costco. poem's about a lot more than Hamantaschen. There's a lot of merriment involved. Allegedly, the Talmud says that a person on Purim should no longer be able to distinguish between the name Haman and the name Mordecai. This is one of those traditions that some members of our community take very seriously. The fiddle player from the All-Star Shoe Band came to the Megillah reading last year dressed as the fiddler from Fiddler on the Roof, so we brought him up to the steeple. Up to the bell tower where the old Presbyterian church bell used to hang, and we told him, "Fiddle, boy, fiddle!" It was cold up there in the steeple in the wind. But there we were singing and dancing and stomping out the name of Haman. It's a fiddler on the roof. Who would have thought? They could hear him all the way down at Bethel Lutheran. We're less than a block from Bethel Lutheran. We're just one of several churches on 3rd Street, which is why they used to call it Church Street. And the building that Beth Emanuel now uses as a synagogue used to be First Presbyterian of Hudson, one of the oldest churches in Hudson, actually dating back to sometime in the 19th century when the Presbyterians didn't have the State of Israel around to divest from. So they spent their time building sturdy, quality church buildings. I suppose there's some irony in converting a Presbyterian church into a Messianic synagogue, since Messianic Judaism is fairly high on the list of things that Presbyterians don't ordinarily do. The same could be said for the Baptists, also just a block away on 3rd Street, and the same goes for Bethel Lutheran, where those good German and Scandinavian Lutherans gathered outside in the parking lot last Purim, stood there in the chilly March evening air, under the full Purim moon, listening, as if entranced, listening to what sounded to them like the distant sound of fiddle music on the wind. Naturally, visitors experience some confusion between Beth Emanuel and Bethel Lutheran. We have two large brick churches only a block apart, both named after some girl named Beth. I used to have trouble writing checks from Beth Emanuel. From the Beth Emanuel checkbook, people would compare my driver's license with the name on the check and say, "You're not Beth." It's not unusual to have visitors to Bethel Lutheran inadvertently show up at Beth Emanuel thinking that they have arrived at a Lutheran church. Happens more than you would think. This very thing happened once on Purim. It was a Sunday morning. Lots of people had come wearing costumes. Our worship leader was dressed as Kermit the Frog that day. The chazan for the Megillah reading was dressed as a clown with a big red wig and a red nose. Some clowns are funny. Some are entertaining, but some are frightening. The clown's wife had decided to disguise herself as Queen Vashti, the ill-fated wife of Ahasuerus, who, according to one Talmudic legend or another, I guess, had some sort of skin condition resembling a case of measles. So this woman had decorated her face in this fashion. Looked like a bad case of the chicken pox. I guess that's why Vashti didn't want to go to the party that night. She didn't want to strut around in front of the men of Shushan up there on the palace catwalk all covered with chicken pox. It's completely understandable. Queen has to have her dignity, you know. Plus, she might have been contagious. You don't bring a contagious disease to a party. It's just not a thing you do. So there she was, Queen Vashti, covered with chicken pox, and her husband, the frightening clown, was just about to start the Megillah reading when a couple of these lost Lutherans showed up at Beth Emanuel, thinking they were visiting Bethel Lutheran. Easy mistake to make. It's Sunday morning. Here's a big brick church building on 3rd Street with Beth in its name. Cars are in the parking lot. So in comes these two Lutheran folks. Queen Vashti offers them some human ears, introduces herself, summons her husband, the frightening clown. "We're about to get started in a few minutes," the clown assures them, running a little bit late, just about to get going. Being polite, the Lutherans nod as if they understand. Queen Vashti was a polite person herself. She asked politely, "So how did you hear about us?" When someone shows up at a Messianic congregation, you want to know how it happened. It's sort of an extraordinary thing, like a car accident. It's hard not to look at. It's like someone with a cast on their arm. You want to say, what happened to you? How did this happen? What are you doing here? It's like that when a stranger shows up at a Messianic congregation. How did you end up here? Savashti asked, how did you hear about us? I think that at this point, the Lutherans were beginning to realize that they had not heard about us. But the husband timidly explained that they have found us on the internet, checked the service time, decided to visit. They stood awkwardly at the back of the sanctuary there, apprehensively surveying the rest of the congregation, which they assumed to be fellow Lutherans, gathered together on a Sunday morning for the 10 a.m. service. There was a pirate, a girl in a dog suit, more than one Queen Esther, a robot, a Jedi Knight, a variety of other strange characters who actually were not wearing costumes. And when you think about it, the funny thing is this could describe most any Messianic congregation you might visit almost any day. Most people in such a situation now would have slowly backed their way out of the room, left the building, made a dash for the safety of their automobile. But these are Scandinavians. Scandinavian Lutherans are polite people who possess a mortal fear of offending anyone. They decided they would take a seat in the back pew, hopefully slip out when no one's looking. Sensing their confusion and their apprehension, hideous Queen Vashti attempted to make some conversation. Is this your first time at a Megillah reading? They weren't exactly sure if it was or not, but they thought it might be. A few more awkward moments passed until the husband asked sheepishly, "This is Bethel Lutheran, isn't it?" A fellow wonders what they told the people at Bethel Lutheran about their adventure down the street. There was a fiddler on the roof, a frogman, an evil clown, and a woman with smallpox. Looked like she had the plague or something. She gave us these human ears filled with poppy seed filling. Well, that's the whole Megillah and all the news from Lake Shushan here in Hudson, Wisconsin, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.